Napa know-how.
Napa guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolored paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
Welcome to another edition of the Superfly Podcast, your Dorian Minor NBA podcast. I'm your host, Joe Borelli. It is Monday, October 24th. Happy Halloween. Actually, that's not till a week away, but whatever. I love Halloween. I'm in the Halloween spirit. I don't know about you guys. This is my favorite time of year. This is my favorite freaking holiday. I don't know why. I mean, I do, but if I'd explain it to you, it just wouldn't. You wouldn't. Not that you wouldn't understand, but you would think me childish. So I won't explain. But I'll tell you this. My brother and my nephew came up this weekend, and we went to Sleepy Hollow. It was fun, you know, because I'm a goofball, and I like the Headless Horseman stuff. Anyway, let's talk about some things that really matter, as in tomorrow night, the NBA is back. It's back with a vengeance, and I am super excited. This is amazing. It's come up so fast. I don't even know where the hell the summer went. And I was going to try and do a bonus podcast for you guys. But if I'm going to do it, I'm going to end up staying up tonight and working on it. But anyway, I may or may not. So I don't know why I'm mentioning it. Why am I mentioning it? Okay, so I was going to do my wacky predictions for you guys. Just like a few random thoughts before the season actually gets underway. And so that, you know, next year when I look back on this and listen to my thoughts, I can see how really dumb I am about the NBA and sports in general. And we can all have a good laugh. Laugh at me. Because it's fun to laugh at me. Shut it. Anyway, tonight I'm going to talk to David Fernandez. He's a writer at SB Nation Detroit Bad Boys Pistons blog. You can follow him on Twitter at @_Fernandula. That's like Durantula, but with an F. So it's @_Fernantula. And you can also find him on SB Nation under David Fernandez. So he does some, pre and post game and player review stuff for Detroit Bad Boys. And he's a good writer. You should check him out and give him a follow. Anyway, he's going to come on in a couple of minutes, and we're going to talk some Detroit basketball for you guys tonight. And so here's the part of the podcast where I warn you that if you don't like Detroit basketball or the Pistons, you might want to tune out. But I think you should stick around. I think it's going to be very informative because, like, for me, these podcasts are often about learning things. Well, they're always about learning things. I always want to learn new stuff. It just happens to be that I'm learning about basketball on these. But in general, I would love to feel as though I were a sponge and I learned something every day. But hopefully you feel similar about the sport of basketball, and maybe we can fill you in on some things and give you some perspective about the Pistons that you didn't have already. So anyway, he's going to be on shortly. I'm going to take a quick break, and I will be right back. Stay tuned. So David, how's it going?
Going well. You know, pretty gnarly commute on my way home tonight, but I made it in time, so that's a starting off point.
Good. I'm glad you made it on time. You know, it's been a really busy weekend for me, so I was just this close to being like, hey, can we reschedule till tomorrow? But but I mean, we both made it, so there we go.
Things happen,
you know. Yeah. So I already did the introduction for you, but if you want to tell everybody where they can follow you, feel free.
All right. Well, I guess first and foremost, you can probably find me on Detroit Bad Boys. David Fernandez, that's with an F, not an H. You'd be surprised how many people automatically go to the H.
You'd be surprised that I almost did it myself.
and then if not on there, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at the underscore Fernantula, and yes, that is like the Durantula. A buddy kind of gave me that one, so I kind of ran with it.
Nice. Cool. So you do pre- and post-game stuff for the Pistons blog?
Pre- and post-game for the Pistons blog, the SB Nation blog. Yeah. And then also manage the Facebook account, do some player analysis, do, you know, like pretty much whatever catches my eye. You know, sometimes it takes me a little bit longer than some of the other writers to come up with like a full thought for, you know, a larger article. But yeah, that's where you'll find me. And definitely excited for the season coming up. So
cool.
A couple days away now.
Yeah, I think it's tomorrow night, right? Doesn't it start tomorrow night?
I think so, yeah.
I thought it was Wednesday for the longest time, and then I just looked at the NBA schedule. I was like, oh, my God.
It is tomorrow, actually. Yeah, yeah. And then I think Pistons' first game's on Wednesday.
Okay, so. Okay. There you go. The Sixers, I think, are first game on Wednesday, too. So.
Oh, nice.
That's why it felt like Wednesday for me. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You know, that's when it starts for us.
Oh, so. Yeah, totally, totally. So let's talk about – so you live in Boston, right?
I do. I live in Boston. Been here for – almost 5 years now.
Oh,
so
wow.
Pretty much as soon as I graduated from school, I moved out here. So I'm kind of deeply entrenched in all things anti-Detroit. And you know, I have to see a lot of like old school Celtics, like highlight videos Havlicek stole the ball. Like just like old school like types of things that are way past my time, but it still kind of hurts.
Yeah.
I
mean, of all the places to be a fan of another sports team, like Boston has got to be the worst place to be if you're a fan of somebody other than the Boston team.
It is. It really can be. You know, it's hit or miss whether or not you face aggression or not, if that makes sense. You know,
yeah.
Sometimes you'll go to a game and it'll be completely just even keel. You know, mutual respect. And I'm not someone to, you know, start jabber-jawing with somebody over the results of a game or, you know, I'm definitely going to be into it and be supporting, you know, supporting the Pistons or Tigers or whoever I'm going to watch, but
sure.
not hooligan level status. So, it's definitely something where, depending on how the row that you're sitting in or the section that you're in, you're going to be dealing with whatever the other circumstances are.
Right. Yeah, that's – how did you end up – so are you from Detroit originally?
Yeah, so I was born in Detroit, raised most of my life in Toledo, Ohio. But I actually have a twin brother. He moved out to Boston. He went to BU. So I moved out here in between my junior and senior year of school and waited tables, kind of just fell in love with the city, made some friends, and then so I just moved out here after I was done.
Well, not to piss any – Boston people off, but Boston is like my least favorite East Coast city.
Hey, I mean, you know, there's definitely some issues here, but I generally like it. It's a nice place to live. Like I'm a fan of like the small, like Northeastern types of communities and things like that. But, it's rough around the edges to say the least.
Yeah. I mean, you have that but this is also coming from a guy who lived outside of Philadelphia most of his life and now lives in New York. So like everywhere
yeah,
I've
yeah.
lived, it's pretty anti-Boston.
Yeah, no, that's true. And not to say that, you know, New York and Philly, I'm sure are definitely have their, you know, rough around the edges types of spots as well in that sense.
You could say that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but I like it out here. It's good. It's got a good sort of atmosphere. It's a good sports town. That's what it's kind of exciting too. It's a great city.
Awesome. So, do you want to talk about some Pistons since they're going to start the season in a few days?
Yeah, let's get into it. It's kind of on eggshells going into the season, but definitely excited no matter what.
Yeah. So first thing I have to ask you, since Reggie Jackson is going to be out, 6 to 8 weeks?
6 to 8 weeks. So, you know, it's going to be anywhere from 15 to 20 games. I'm generally thinking it's going to be the full 8 weeks. I don't know. I don't think they're going to rush it. I guess it depends on how they play out of the jump. But
so remind everybody listening, because I am woefully underprepared. Sorry.
But oh, no,
what
no
exactly
worries.
Happened? I forget what his injury was.
So he's been battling tendonitis. It's something that's affected him throughout his career. I think he even had it. He's actually went to Boston College as well. I think I heard something that he was battling that back in his college days as well. Don't quote me on that. But I think the game plan was going into the off season was, you know, rest, relaxation, you know, kind of take it easy going into, camp. and see where it's at, because they didn't want to have to go in there and do like the type of some sort of like fusion shot to get him ready unless they had to. And then when it came time to play and when it came time to for the preseason, he wasn't good to go. So they had to do it then. 6 to 8 weeks recovery. He was, you know, on crutches on his way out. So I think they also did a similar type of treatment in his thumb as well. So, yeah, you know, he's going to be out. You know, we're definitely, you got to not think Reggie Jackson going into the first quarter of this season.
Right. So you get Ish Smith, who I personally love, but, you know, I have a soft spot for him, obviously. But.
No, of course. And I know that you're a big Philly guy. I was actually listening to a couple of your earlier podcasts over the past few days.
What'd you think? Kind of you like?
Glad to be. Oh, no, it's awesome. I think it's, you got a good thing going on here. So definitely, you know, honored and privileged to be on. But
I'm glad to have you.
Well, thank you. But Ish, yeah, part of it was I was kind of excited about was to talk to a Philly guy and to kind of get a little bit more of an inside scoop, because I haven't watched all of the preseason games. I've really only watched one of them in its entirety, and then I've watched, you know, highlights, and I'm trying to like ISO Ish. Like, kind of watch him on defense, watch him on offense. I know he's like a slippery kind of player. I know he's, you know, getting a lot of other players involved. Some similars in the sense of, you know, getting into the paint as Reggie. But, you know, one thing that I we're definitely going to be hurting on, or just hurting with in general, is going to be the fact that, you know, Reggie's not only our go-to scorer, period, when it comes to production, you know, 18-plus points a game, 7-something assist a game. He's also the one player that the Pistons have been lacking or have been missing in the past, like, I don't know, that horrible stretch that they were on, when, you know, it's 8-9 seasons missing the playoffs. But they didn't have a player that could actually hit like or believed in themselves or wanted to take those last-second shots. So missing a player like that is going to be, I don't know. I saw Reggie, good or bad, you see him going for it in the fourth quarter when it's time. So that's something that we're definitely going to miss.
Yeah, for sure. He's that what Bill Simmons would call a rational confidence guy, I guess, for you, huh?
Yeah, sometimes irrational, because sometimes he definitely forces it at times. He can dribble the air out of the ball. Mm-hmm. He does a lot of things that might frustrate you as a fan. But when, you know, it's good or bad, right? So it's going to be someone that's either going to be, you know, taking over. And I think, you know, he had 26 points in the fourth quarter against Portland last season. Then he's going to be also the guy that's just forcing up a shot and, you know, possibly losing you a game, you know? So
so you kind of live and die with him, right? You kind of take the good with the bad and, like, this is what you get. But
exactly.
I think what you're saying is that, like, you haven't had that guy that was able to do that for so long.
Yeah, so, not at all.
Yeah, so it's probably just a really refreshing, sort of refreshing change of pace in a weird way, right?
It is, and it's also kind of unique because the Pistons, you know, when I started getting into the Pistons when I was younger, it was, like, you know, Grant Hill. It was, you know, kind of going, honestly, I was a bigger Allen Iverson fan growing up more than anything else.
Yes.
yeah, I just, you know, there's still just like the biggest soft spot in my heart for Allen Iverson.
You and me both.
But, yeah, I mean, how can you not? He literally, you know, he kind of led the generation into watching basketball post that Jordan era.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, going back into, like, looking back at the Pistons, you know, you had a player like Grant Hill. He obviously had his injury issues. He, you know, we ended up trading him. You had a player like Jerry Stackhouse as well. And it was also a Sixer guy,
also a Sixer,
you know,
guy.
Back in the day. And he was kind of a player that would sort of take over games, but that, like, 04 Pistons team, that, you know, going to work Pistons team, they weren't really a team that was, you know, had, like, a go-to guy. It was kind of like, is Rip Hamilton feeling it? Is Chauncey Phillips feeling it? Is Sheed feeling it? You know, is Tayshaun kind of feeling it one night or not? So
right, even back to that time. But, that, I mean, like, obviously the beauty of that team was that they worked that way. But, yeah, even as as that, like, you didn't have that guy, right?
Exactly. In my, like, modern, you know, conscious, like, I understanding basketball a little bit better over the, you know, or at least I try to.
You and me both.
It's refreshing to see, you know, it's not refreshing, but it's unique to see the Pistons have a guy that's going to be like, all right, I'm going to take this last shot. I'm going to, you know, we're going to win or lose based on, you know, how I'm playing in the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter.
Right.
So that's pretty unique in that sense. Although we did have, like, Mr. Big Shot, he would hit big shots, but he didn't necessarily have that sort of, like, you know, same type of chip on his shoulder, like a Reggie Jackson.
So it's it's exciting to watch. You know, win or lose, it's something to get invested in, I guess. I can tell you what you're going to get with Ish Smith. So yeah, as you mentioned, Ish Smith is very crafty with the ball. He can get down around the rim and just like weave his way in and out of players. Really crafty, like, and he loves lobbing guys up. So there's that. He's not going to give you much on defense. He's a little bit undersized, but he's pesky, you know, and he's super quick. He sees the court pretty well. I think he's going to fill in pretty well for you guys, in Reggie Jackson's absence. So
I also think so. I think he's definitely skilled enough to, you know, to keep the boat afloat. You know, there's other players on this team that, you know, you look at a guy like Tobias Harris. He, you know, just joined the team on and the last, like literally like the last third of the season. So you're still, you know, you're not even in your full season of seeing what Tobias Harris is as a Piston. You have other guys that can, you know, possibly hit big shots like Marcus Morris. You have, you know, Dre, who's going to be just disruptive no matter what.
For sure.
So I do think that Ish is a guy that can definitely keep the boat afloat. And it's kind of exciting in that sense because he's not going to be the guy that needs to dribble the air out of the ball. He doesn't need to, you know, take, you know, 15 shots a game.
Right.
He can get other players involved, which is going to be kind of exciting to see how they come up and to see how they respond to that, knowing that Reggie Jackson isn't there to kind of bail him out in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, he's kind of exactly what you want as a backup point guard for sure. Like once he finally does end up on the bench, you're really gonna like him. I think he's gonna quickly become a fan favorite. He's just that kind of character, you know.
Yeah, no, it definitely. And it seems like he's already vibing with the team quite a bit. Him and Dre seem to be getting along, which is huge. They're going to be running a lot of that pick and roll for the first 20 games.
Oh, yeah.
And also, we had Steve Blake last year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he couldn't guard me. And that's saying something. So, you know, I think that anything at the backup point guard spot was going to, not necessarily anything, but having a guy that, like Ish Smith, having a guy that, you know, immediately improved his team, you know, whether it be only two or four games, you know, for that last year's Sixers team, they still played better and were, you know, seemed to care a little bit more when he was in the team. He kind of injected some life into the team, it looked like.
Well, yeah, for sure. When you have no point guard at all, and then you get one that's even halfway decent, yeah, it's going to help your team. But yeah, I don't think there's going to be, not that there's not going to be drop off from Reggie Jackson. Obviously there will be, but I think, as you said, he'll keep the boat afloat. I think you guys are going to like him. He's going to be good for you. But that brings up a question. Do you think, because we emailed back and forth a little bit about what we were going to talk about. We mentioned that, or you mentioned that, like having Reggie Jackson out is, it has potential to hurt like the growth of, say, Tobias Harris or maybe even Stanley Johnson. What do you think? Do you think that's going to affect them negatively, not having him in there, just in the matter of like them not being able to gel together? Or do you think that Reggie Jackson is that good of a point guard that, like, it's going to hurt them not having him there?
To be honest, I think I was kind of going on, like, the opposite spectrum of that. I think that this is more of an opportunity for to really see what you have in a guy like Tobias Harris, who, you know, he can have the ball in his hands. He can create shots for himself. He gets in this sort of mode sometimes where, you know, you get it to him, you know, on the baseline, you get him to him, you know, kind of out in the wing, and he sees a guy that's undersized, and he's, I'm just going to take over this particular possession, get a bucket, and then go back down the other end of the court. For that, I think that it's exciting in the sense, like, let's see what Tobias Harris can do, knowing that Reggie Jackson isn't going to be dribbling the air out of the ball every possession.
Okay.
You know, where I think it might hurt a little bit more might be, you know, with like Dre's development, it might hurt more because, you know, with Reggie Jackson, if you're running the, you know, a pick and roll, you're running, you know, a high screen, you really do have to defend the three, you know, not every single night, but I think he shot somewhere like 35-36% from three last season, and he shot, you know, four or five a game. So he's going to be, you know, you have to respect it enough to, you know, honor the pick and roll and get Dre a little, you know, it might open up Dre a little bit more. Where, you know, Ish Smith is not necessarily, you don't necessarily have to, you know,
you don't have
completely
to honor,
step out in that three. Stan Van Gundy's not going to ask, you know, Ish Smith to start all of a sudden shooting 5 to 6 threes a game.
It so would I think be with, stupid like, if he Dre, did.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
it's he's not going to hit him. He'll hit one a game for you, maybe, on like, you know, You don't want him shooting threes.
Well, if he does hit it, I want him to, you know, throw up the double threes and then maybe do like the, you know, the Wesley Matthews like arrow sort of thing. Like the shoot the arrow. I want him to really celebrate.
Yeah, but he should because he's so bad at them. Someone should be celebrating those threes.
Well, it'll be me for sure. Yeah,
there
I
you go.
I will be celebrating every single made three this season.
Good.
Unless it's one of those shake your head ones. But
Yeah. No, I honestly thought you were going the other way with it when we were emailing. I guess I didn't get the tone of your email. It was that I thought you were thinking that Reggie Jackson not being in was going to hurt their development, but yeah, I think you're right in that, you know, Reggie Jackson not dribbling the air out of the ball is going to leave Tobias Harris to have more on the ball time. And
yep.
Like when he was in Orlando, that the one thing I didn't really like about his game was that he seemed to be like a little bit of a black hole on offense.
Yeah.
He would stop. He was a ball stopper.
That was kind of the MO coming in too. It was, you know, and that was my fear. I was like, you know, we got a great player. We got rid of Ersan Ilyasova, who did this funky like step back three. Every single three he shot was a step back three, no matter if he had to or not, which was extremely frustrating. And you're getting rid of Brandon Jennings, who was a competent backup point guard in Detroit Bad Boys community, Detroit Pistons. Everyone has a soft spot for Brandon Jennings, or I do at least,
yeah.
And I know a lot of fellow DBB people do as well. So you're getting rid of him and you're getting a potential ball stopper, and I thought that's what he was going to be. I thought he was, you know, he didn't know the offense at all. He didn't know, you know, how to play with these types of players, but he shot when he was open. He never, you know, did too much with the ball, which was really exciting. It's like, well, maybe he was just in the wrong situation in Orlando and they were all so young. They all didn't know. They had no identity whatsoever. It might have been like a, well, what the hell? I might as well shoot it because, you know, I don't necessarily need like Evan Fournier to, you know, like try and like cross up the whole team and like shoot a three or something like that. So,
right.
You know, we'll see, I guess.
I think he also has a better coach now, so that might help something.
Yeah, Stan Van Gundy. He's going to get the most out of a Tobias Harris. So,
yeah, and he doesn't seem like a guy who's going to take a lot of shit with like, no, you're not doing that or you'll be sitting on the bench. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he's taking teams to the final, so you got to have to, you know, you're going to have to listen to him.
Yeah, for sure. So you're pro Tobias Harris. What about, so tell me about Stanley Johnson. Like, I wanted to ask you about, like, what he, okay, I remember last year when he came in and had his summer league last year, everyone was like, oh my God, this kid's going to be rookie of the year. And then all of a sudden he kind of just disappeared completely. What happened? Was he okay last year? Again, I didn't follow enough Pistons basketball to really, you know, to know about his game.
Yeah.
So fill me in a little bit.
So Stanley Johnson, and he even, I think he wrote like a Players Tribune article about this, but it really, you could kind of see it in the first few games of the season and just, you know, throughout early in the season, he couldn't rely on what he could do in college. He couldn't just bully, you know, power forwards and small forwards in the NBA and use his athleticism to get to the rim and finish with a jam or to get close enough to hit like a, you know, I don't know, a 12-foot jump shot or something like that. Those shots aren't going to be open in the NBA. So you would find him, you know, moving too fast, getting caught in the air, not knowing what to do with it, forcing bad shots. The game just wasn't as easy for him. It wasn't, you know, this wasn't high school ball. He only played 1 year of college. You know, things fell pretty easily for him in that scenario. He was on a great Arizona team, so you know, he wasn't on a team that was he didn't have to carry the whole load in that sense. So for those purposes, you know, I just think that he had to learn the NBA. He was 19 years old,
right?
You know, he just, things wouldn't work that would always work for him. So, you know, I think it was kind of unrealistic, and I was definitely on that, like, oh my goodness, he's going to be
so good
yeah. Right off the bat, like, it's going to take away all my Justice Winslow anxieties from passing on him. And then, you know, it might have been just kind of unrealistic, but I see flashes of just, he just seems like the kind of player that is, has his head on straight. You know, he's gonna work really, really hard. He's already, you know, he's got the NBA body. He can defend NBA players. He went, you know, I guess as much as you can go toe to toe with LeBron James.
Right.
He was not scared of the moment.
Which
you
is
know,
huge in itself. You know, you can't teach people to have confidence like that. We have
no, and
we have Nick Stauskas on our team, who is severely lacking in confidence. Right, he was really great in college, but his confidence is shot to the point where he's hired a psychologist to help him make his shot. He can't shoot anymore. But sorry, I'm getting off on a tangent about my sisters again. But go ahead, Stanley Johnson has moxie. Let's call it that.
Yeah, he's got moxie, and he's you know, he's just, you can't teach that. You're right. You know, you can't teach a player to not be, you know, petrified of LeBron James. Right. You can't teach a player to, you know to not be overly confident in the sense that he thinks he's just going to keep on, you know, that if he keeps on doing what he's been doing, that it's going to somehow start working.
Right.
You know, I think he knows that he has to, you know, he has to fix his jumper. You know, I think he needs to, you know, become more reliable from three. I think that, you know, he just has to play a little bit smarter and just slow the game down a bit for him. But honestly, I think that he's, you know, I don't know if he will crack the starting rotation, but I think that he could play well enough this season to at least make Stan Van Gundy think about, you know, how immediately are we going to be trying to get him into the starting rotation.
Right. Is he first off the bench this year, you think?
I think he'll definitely be first off the bench this year. You know, I mean, him, there's going to be three guys that are going to be first off the bench. You know, it's going to be Ish Smith, because you really need to, you know, you need to limit some of Reggie's minutes. You need to, you know, Reggie does have, you know, he gets exhausted. He doesn't have the best stamina compared to some of the other players. You know, John Lohr, I am super excited about this season.
Okay.
And then, yeah, I think Stanley's going to be a guy. The thing is with Stanley, he can play 2, 3, and 4,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, Lohr, you know, you're really only going to put him at 4, maybe 5. Ish Smith, you're really only going to put him at 1. So, yeah, I think he'll definitely be the sixth man for the Pistons this season.
Okay, cool. What do you think about Boban?
Boban is a beast. And I mean that in the sense, you know, he keeps the ball high. He catches it so low that he's just going to be a force down there.
Yeah.
Defensively, you know, there's definitely limiting areas. You can't go too far out of the side of the paint effectively.
Right. Well, I mean, when you're that big, like the atmosphere up there just sort of slows you down, I think.
Mm-hmm. and you know, his arms are so long that, you know,
he doesn't really have to go anywhere, right? You can just reach out. You're going to stop a ball somewhere.
No, but I'm really excited about Boban. He's got just insane skill. He's extremely good on offense. He's something that, you know, last year's Pistons team, the way that it would go with the bench would be that the starters, not necessarily every game, and this isn't like a science by any means, but the starters would play really well in the first quarter and get them a lead of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
The bench would come in and be so poor on offense that they would lose the lead. They would, you know, the Pistons would re-enter back down, you know, 10 points or something like that.
And they'd have to
regain the lead and then be a battle going into, you know, the end of the third and fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Where now you have a guy like Boban who, you know, can immediately score. You have a guy like, you know, Ish Smith who's going to be distributing the ball and who's going to be getting a lot more players involved and, you know, just be able to get into the lane and kind of open things up for other guys. You know, Stanley Johnson, we're expecting him to take the next step. And then you have a guy like John Lohr who, you know, it might be kind of my bias, and I had heard you had like a Phoenix Suns podcast recently.
Yeah, last week. This is two Daves in a row, so.
Oh, there we go, doubling up. You know, you had, you know, John Lohr, every time we played against him, he was just killing us last season. He was just stroking out from three. He was, you know, he's pretty darn athletic. He's, you know, he can crash the boards.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really, really excited about what John Lohr is going to be able to do on this team, because I just think that's where the Pistons were so poor last year. Their bench was just so awful.
Yeah,
that,
it's,
you know, it only go up.
And it's funny because I was looking over the roster too, and even now I'm like, yeah, they got a nice starting five. Who's coming off the bench? What is their bench? I don't even know. I mean, I feel like Boban definitely helps that. Aaron Baines, I think, like, he made some steps right in the right direction.
Yeah, I think with Aaron Baines, you know, he didn't have a huge role in San Antonio, so it was kind of like, you know, who is Aaron Baines? I didn't know a thing about Aaron Baines before he got to the Pistons, to be honest.
I still know very little about him, so.
He's huge. He's definitely, you know, I think you had said something about, did he miss his calling to become
a professional wrestler? Yeah. Yeah. He just, like, you look at him and you're like, man, I can imagine him just, like, body slamming someone for some reason.
He's so barrel chested that it looks like he should be definitely throwing people into the stands.
At very least, he should be like the head of a biker gang, like, you know, like.
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, he's definitely intimidating looking.
Yeah.
He's kind of limited on offense. He's a serviceable backup center. He's going to hit your free throws. He's going to help Dre out in that sort of, you know, capacity. He was a guy closing out fourth quarters for us because Dre couldn't stay in the game.
Right.
Or Andre Drummond, excuse me.
Yeah.
You know, I like him. I don't necessarily see him being on the Pistons for, you know, maybe all of next season or going in or in the following season. I just don't know if you need three centers in the NBA nowadays. So I think he's kind of, you know, when you're looking at, you know, possible trade options, some other teams will need a backup center. And
not the Sixers, but some other team will definitely need a backup center. Yeah.
No, I think there'll be, I don't know, boycott or riot if somebody had another center.
Actually, the Suns apparently need another center, so there you go. They have too many guards. Maybe you guys could do a little switcheroo.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I was thinking, you know, possible, you know, I don't necessarily know. I haven't played around with, like, the NBA, you know, trade machine. It's just so early to be thinking like that. But, you know, I was thinking of, you know, Boston's team, they have a lot of guards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think of a guy like maybe Terry Rozier, if he's not being able to, you know, crack the rotation, he's just kind of sitting there. You know, that would be something where we definitely need help at the backup shooting guard position.
Right.
And I guess, you know, Terry Rozier could kind of play a little point or shooting guard. But, you know, definitely that's where we would be looking, if I were to assume. Aaron Baines, while I like him and he, you know, had a great season for us last season, he just seems like he's kind of, you know, we kind of just signed a better version of him, at least offensively.
Right, right.
So, and I guess we'll see what happens with that one.
Yeah, because for me, I mean, like, I think the team has a lot of talent, like, at least in the starting five, and they, you know, they've got potential. But, again, looking at the bench, I think that might still be their weak spot. Like, it's a little bit worrisome when, you know, Stanley Johnson, who's a second-year player, is going to be maybe your sixth man.
I would agree with that. And it's also, the bench is so, they don't know each other at all. So this team is, you know, not only so it's not going to be Ish Smith with the second unit for the first quarter of the season. It's going to be Ray McCollum Jr., who, you know, barely made the team. He's mm-hmm. kind of, you know, he's kind of hanging on to his, like, NBA life right now. You have, you know, the team doesn't necessarily know each other. You add two more pieces with, you know, John Lohr, you add Boban. So they don't necessarily know each other. I think it's definitely, I do think it is an upgrade from last season. The bench, I just was so down on the bench last season. So I do think it is an upgrade, but there is definitely, like, how good are they going to be? Is it going to work? Is it going to, you know, are they going to need to make adjustments? Are they going to have to make, you know, an early trade? I don't necessarily know. I wouldn't forecast that. I do think it is going to be better, at least at individual spots. I just don't know how it's going to mesh as a unit. But I think Ish Smith is a good player to kind of get everyone involved in the office and to kind of get some sort of rhythm going. So I am excited about that for sure.
Yeah, for sure. He was a great pickup for them this season. But that, you know, I know a lot of people are talking about, there's a lot of talk about the Pistons, man. There's, like, a lot of people are excited about them and, like, they're going to go deep into the playoffs and, like, you know, they could finish two or three. And I'm like, whoa, slow your roll. Like, again, the major thing for me is their bench.
They don't have the bench of a Boston Celtics. They don't have a bench of, you know, they don't have a quality player like a Corey Joseph on Toronto. You know, they don't have that level of players right now on their bench. And I don't think that they're, you know, a three seed. The four seed, five seed, it's going to be so, you know, so much of a crapshoot from the 4 to the 12 in the East. You know, you don't necessarily know what you have with a lot of these teams. I do think improvement. I do think better than last year's record. I do think, you know, making it to the playoffs again. Yeah, I don't think we're winning two rounds in the playoffs. I don't think that we're going, you know, to the Eastern Conference Finals by any means. I don't think we're as good as, you know, a Toronto, obviously a Cleveland or a Boston Celtics for that matter. So but I can definitely see an avenue where, you know, steady improvement this season, possibly, you know, a first round playoff win, whether that be as, you know, a four seed, six, I guess it wouldn't necessarily be as low as a six seed, but if you were, you know, the four or five seed to possibly kind of take that series, but you know, you gotta check it. And also there's no rush in my opinion. There's, you know, Cleveland's still going to be the kings of the conference.
Yeah, you kind of have some time there. It's like, just sit on your hands and wait for a minute. You know, LeBron's done rolling the roost. I don't, like, why is anybody even trying at this point?
It's kind of depressing.
Yeah,
it's
seriously.
We really got to hope that Golden State has to, like, blow it up for some reason, or they can't re-sign, you know, Steph Curry for some, that would never happen. But, hey, you know, it's kind of like you have to, the team's young, though, with the Pistons, which is definitely a good thing. They're not in a win now mode because they for damn sure shouldn't be.
Right.
But you look for the team to make improvements. You know, it's a Stan Van Gundy team that they generally do get better.
This is,
you know,
his third year now, right? Is this his third year? Yeah. And so, like, this is kind of the year you think that it will really start taking shape around his sort of team. Like, you know, like, it's going to start, I feel like, looking more like the Magic, maybe. You know, they're just going to be shooting threes and getting in the paint. Because Andre Drummond's a beast, man.
He is a beast. He's just a problem down low. He's, you know, people talk about his offensive development. People talk about, you know, should he be a kind of play, should he be more of a DeAndre Jordan, or should he be, you know, more like where Dwight Howard was kind of demanding touches down low? Should he be more like that, or should he be, you know, I'm not saying that it was always a success, but what kind of, like, philosophy should he be going?
Right.
Like, what kind of mindset should he be going in as a player? Like, DeAndre Jordan's not asking for the ball down on the post.
Yeah.
Dre does. You know, they do feed it to him. He has shown an ability to hit it with both hands. He's obviously, you know, just physically just more athletic than a lot of the other players that he's going against at the center position.
Mm-hmm.
He's faster. So, I don't know. I don't necessarily know what kind of player he is yet. I don't know if he is going to be able to develop into, you know, not to say Shaq, but like a, you know, a true center that demands touches down low, or if he's just going to be kind of that rim runner DeAndre Jordan type, you know, but still extremely effective.
Tell me about this. Do you know anything? Have they made any attempt to try and fix his free throw shooting at all in the offseason? Do you know anything about, like, has there been any talk about it at all, or?
Two words, virtual reality.
Really?
Yeah, they've been, I don't know if it's like with the Samsung sort of goggles. I don't know, you know, what kind of tech they were using you know, per se, but it was supposed to, you know, fix the, or at least supply some sort of element of, you know, obviously reality, you know, but in the virtual sense. So who knows? I don't know if that's going to work. I don't know.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut, but go ahead.
Oh, I just don't know what it's going to be, because you hear from, you know, you hear from the media, you hear from, or at least like the local Pistons and Stan Van Gundy, and they talk about, you know, he's hitting 50-60% in practice, and I don't know, it's just something where you see his eyes in the game, he doesn't want it, and then as soon as you start missing, or if you hit one, the crowd cheers, and it's kind of, you know, it's patronizing in a certain sense.
Oh, yeah.
You know, everything adds, there's no like smooth, you know, sort of way for him to either make or miss free throws. Is always an event. It's always like either met with boos and or he's getting pulled out of the game right after missing a couple. They're hacking him. So, you know, I don't know how you fix, you know, free throw shooting. If I did, I would probably, you know,
somebody would go back in time and help Shaquille O'Neal. But yeah,
I don't know what you do there.
Two things about this. It's like, A, the advances in technology that they have now to be able to utilize these things in this sport avenue, and like, it's just incredible. I don't know what in the hell like virtual reality is supposed to do. If you can't hit it in real life, I don't know why you being able to do it like in a video game setting would make you any better. Maybe it will. I don't know. The other thing about that is, if he's shooting 50-60% free throw in practice, isn't that incredible that's a huge step up for him? Like, that just tells
goodness.
You right there, like, no one, like, he should never be fouled. He should run away from every foul that ever comes his way. Yeah. It's
yeah, no, I agree. I don't know. I don't know how, you know, how you can be, I mean, so poor at it. I don't know. You know, he is statistically the worst of all time. And we had Ben Wallace. You know, we yeah. had a player that, you know, was notorious for missing free throws. So it wasn't in too distant memory where you would, you know, kind of be petrified of, you know, a player stepping to the line and, you know, not being able to produce, especially, you know, fourth quarter or when a game's getting tight and you're in sort of like, you know, battling lead exchanges. So, you know, for those reasons, it's huge. You know, people question the contract that he got. People question him, you know, as a player in general,
right?
Because of that. And it's valid. You know, he can't stay on the court in the fourth quarter. He's your only all-star.
Right.
Yeah. Well, why wouldn't you question that? And I'm happy we re-signed Dre. I want him to figure it out, but something has to get better. So
yeah, I mean, it's clearly mental, you know. Mm-hmm. It has to be mental. There's no other explanation for it. And what you do about that, I don't know. Because, like, we hear about, again, as I just mentioned, like Nick Stauskas, we hear about guys all the time getting shrinks to help them with their game. There's like sports psychologists. Mm-hmm. That's all they do. They help you perform to the best of your mental abilities. And, like, I'm sure he sought that avenue. Like, probably talk to somebody about that.
Sure. Like,
what do you do? I mean, I know I shrink under the spotlight every time, but I'm not getting paid to commit free throws.
No. I kind of know that as well. And sports psychology, you know, I don't necessarily, I don't know much about, you know, physician type of psychology in general. So mm-hmm. I don't necessarily know, you know, what it could do for him. But the hope is, I assume, is just to kind of relax the heart rate, is to, you know, just have him somehow, you know, just see the basket. I don't
right.
know what they're,
but like, but you mentioned,
I would hope that it would be something that I assume that is an avenue that they've gone down before
right.
in some sort. But I don't know, you know, at a certain point, it's like if a golfer with the yips. You
yeah.
either, you know, you might either just be, you know, you might just be a choker, you know, or you might just not be able to hit free throws. I don't know with Dre if he's going to be able to figure out. I know he's really young. I know he works really hard at it.
Yeah.
So I do have hope that he will be able to figure it out. And,
he is only, you know, what, 24, 25 now at this point?
Oh, yeah, I think he's 23.
Really?
My God. Yeah, he's extremely young.
Yeah, he's got time.
Yeah, he's definitely got time.
That's
and
cool.
now... I need to know for sure.
Look it up. I was actually surprised when you told me Tobias Harris is only 24. I was like, wait a minute, really? I thought he was at least 28. I was like, that's crazy. I mean, for me, everybody's young at this point, but, you know, that's what happens when you get old.
Definitely. But yeah, no, Dre is 23. So
that's crazy. I know he came in really. He was like 19 when he came in, right? Didn't he come?
Yep.
Yeah, he was he 1 year in college and then came right out?
Yeah, Connecticut. He
yeah.
spent 1 year there, and he was there this season after I think they won the national championship. And then, yeah, he came out the following year. After his first year, and he fell to us in the draft, and, you know, couldn't have been happier to pick
oh,
him
yeah.
up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I was wondering who was going to grab him. He kept falling. I'm like, somebody take him. He's going to be amazing. Like, grab him. Grab him. But yeah, good for you guys, man. That was a huge get. What else? I mean, what are your expectations for the team overall this season? So we talked a little bit about, hopefully they're going to make the playoffs. I want to see them in the playoffs. I like, you know, I like the Pistons. I like rooting for them. And I, you know, I like Stan Van. So,
you know, honestly, I would be thoroughly, and I think, you know, the people that I, you know, talk with, whether my friends or the people, you know, on Detroit Bad Boys,
mm-hmm.
I think we'd all be thoroughly disappointed if they did not make the playoffs. I think most people in the Pistons community are definitely expecting them to make the playoffs, especially with so many teams over, you know, over the summer that kind of changed their identity. The Miami Heat are,
mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to be a good team this season. Chicago Bulls, you know,
Whoa.
Who knows if the spacing is going to work. You know, the Bucks just lost Chris
Wait,
Middleton.
What spacing in Chicago?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, you know, there's so many teams that kind of change their identity. The Pistons, that starting unit's the same, you know, obviously once Reggie Jackson gets back. So I do think that, you know, kind of keeping the identity the same, at least with the, that starting unit, is big, and it's going to be, you know, I think it is going to pay dividends. So I do expect them to make the playoffs. Before the Reggie Jackson injury, I was on the train, you know, four seed, you know, going to be behind Toronto and Boston. I thought that we were, you know, definitely the favorites to kind of nab that four seed and get home court. Mm-hmm. Now I'm a little bit hesitant to say that. You know, I think if Ish Smith can truly keep the motor running and have this team playing 500 or possibly above basketball by the time Reggie gets back, that's definitely in the cards. But, you know, I'm thinking that, you know, I still think they're going to improve their win total. They had 44 last season. I'm expecting them to be able to improve on that. I have them down for, you know, I 48 to 50 games still, and I do believe that. And, you know, making it to the first round of the playoffs as a 4 or 5 seed. I think that Ish Smith will be able to keep the team moving. I think the bench, while I don't know how they're going to cohesively work, I think you have major improvements. You know, you have John Lohr over Anthony Tolliver. You mm-hmm. have, you know, Boban's a better offensive player. You have Ish Smith over Steve Blake. I think that there's these smaller parts that are going to, you know, improve that second unit, which is going to be huge.
Right.
So, you know, I'm still definitely, you know, cautiously optimistic going into the season.
Yeah. I think your win total is probably right on. I think I would say 47, 48 wins. Just like, I think they're going to be fun. I think they'll make the playoffs for sure. They've got to. I can't see who else would make it besides them. You know,
like I think so too. I think that they're just, you know, it's kind of, you just look at the East now. They haven't necessarily, you know, there hasn't been too many teams that have gotten a lot better other than like a Boston Celtics.
Right.
Is going to be better with Al Horford.
Oh,
I
sure.
thoroughly
yeah.
believe that. But other than that, there's not a ton of teams that you look at and just like, well, yeah, no, they're, you know, definitely improved. Definitely. You can just slot them into, you know, the 3 seed or the 4 seed. You know, I think the Pistons are just by the fact that they have been able to keep their, at least starting unit identity, that they're definitely going to be back in there. And, you know, definitely excited to see how things start to take shape here over the first, you know, I guess the beginning of the season.
Yeah. I mean, even if they just remain status quo from what they were last year, they're in good shape. If they make no improvements, Stanley Johnson doesn't get any better. Boban mm-hmm. just is as good as the, you know, whoever. Who was it last year that was their backup?
Aaron Baines.
Aaron.
Yeah, Baines
oh, right.
Was backup
it was player, Baines yeah. last year. Yeah. If they make no improvements at all, they should still make the playoffs. They should still be in there. But I have hope that they're going to be better. Like, they're going to – I think Stan Van Gundy's system is going to, like, really take – set in with these guys now. They're gonna have a little bit of time to work on it. They're gonna get better. I think, you know, I still think the 4 seed would probably be something they could shoot for, and maybe the second round,
you know, I think if they get a, you know, favorable matchup as that 4 seed, you know, if they get some, you know, like a, I don't necessarily know who else is going to be in that, but if you, I definitely see an avenue where they can, you know, put together, you know, 4 strong games in the first round and get out of there. From there, who knows?
Yeah.
You know, I think they played their tail off against the Cavaliers.
They really did. They gave them a harder time than I think anybody else in the playoffs last year. I mean, besides Golden State, but
yeah, no, definitely. I mean, there was those 2 games that Toronto did win, but you know, just in a game by game type of competitive atmosphere, the Pistons were right there in every one of those games. I think they lost one of them by, you know, by 15 points or so.
Right, but the rest of them, they were really consistent, and they took it to them every single game. Like, even what, as you were saying with the Raptors, like, they won 2, but they also got blown the hell out, you know? Like,
yeah.
It was an embarrassment of sorts at times. So, yeah, I think if they can remain that consistent team that they were last year, if they can keep that level of play up, I think they'll be fine. I think Ish Smith is going to be able to keep them afloat, as you mentioned.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that they, you know, there's good enough players in individual spots there. There's good enough, you know, consistency across, you know, your starting unit. There's, you know, improvement in the bench. You have another year of the Stan Van Gundy system. I think he alone kind of gets you a few wins just himself, just by being such a good coach. You know, I think that there's enough factors in there to definitely cement them in the playoffs. you know, we said it earlier, there is no true rush. You do like to see year-by-year improvement because that's kind of, you know, how teams like the Pistons, like the Thunder, you know, mm-hmm. the Thunder pre, you know, Durant leaving. But, you know, teams like that, you like to see them take smaller steps
right.
each season before they, like, all right, now we can actually, we're all a little bit more mature. We're, you know, we've been playing together for so long that they can make bigger pushes at a team like a Cleveland.
Yeah.
The only
thing about that is, though, is, like, so at the end of this year, if they're just the same players that they were at the beginning, where do you go from there? You know, this is a whole other, I mean, this is a discussion for a whole other podcast, but you definitely want to see some growth out of Reggie Jackson and, you know, out of Drummond and, like, if they don't improve at all and they do stay the same team, then you have to start thinking about, yeah, this is a different podcast. We can talk about the future.
No, but yeah, you're right. Yeah, you have a point. You know, if you have, if you just have the same players across the board
mm-hmm.
and you know, I think Andre Drummond did so well last year that, you know, I could see him having a little bit of a lapse this year, at least when it comes to, like, you know, when it comes to stat stuffing, you know, averaging at 16 and 14, which he did last season.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily know if he's going to be able to at least put up that type of, you know, insane production, build on that to make it, you know, who knows, 20 and 16. Right. Like, that'd be ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, but I do expect small improvements. I do expect development, you know, but you would have to question it. You'd have to look at a guy like Reggie Jackson, like, all right, well, you know, while we might not be a team that's going to compete with Cleveland this season, you should still be thinking 2-3 years down the road, what do we have in this guy? What do we have, you know, in a Marcus Morris, you know, what do we have in Kentavious Caldwell-Pope for sure?
You know, we didn't even talk about KCP. So you were telling me that they didn't extend his contract, or they didn't extend the rookie contract. They didn't extend him, and they're not going to.
I think October 31st is the date.
Okay.
So
they have a week.
They have a week to extend it. The rumors and the murmurs coming out of Pistons camp was that they're actively looking to get the deal done before that. But now you're starting to hear that. Or I'm starting to hear at least that they're not going to be able to get it done, and they might just kind of let him go into restricted free agency, which are still the heavy, heavy favorite to re-sign someone in that.
Right, match, right, for sure.
Yeah, you can match, you can go over, but you know he's going to make a lot of money next mm-hmm. season. You know, no matter whatever at the end of next season, he's going to get paid by somebody. But you really do have to look at a guy like KCP. Who, you know, he had a few seasons ago, he just tore up summer league. Everyone was expecting this is the season he's going to make that next step.
Yep.
He still can't. He's one of those players that has an absolute, I think, just like a beautiful stroke from, you know, just a jumper that looks like it's just natural and it's going to be money. But he
never goes
so
in.
Many of them.
It looks great. It just doesn't land.
yeah. You know, he doesn't necessarily create too much off the dribble. He's got great athleticism. He's uh-huh. a hell of a defender.
That's what I was gonna say. He's huge for you guys for defense, right?
Oh yeah, he's the guy that's guarding their best player.
Yeah.
You know, he's the guy that's on Steph Curry. He's the guy that's on like a Chris Paul. He's chasing people around screens. He's, you know, it's highlight video. It doesn't really matter. But defensive highlight videos are a little bit like they can be more impressive than just like random dunks.
Totally
His
true.
Last season was so cool and just like so many awesome chase down blocks and just feisty D. So you know for that reason alone, he's going to get paid. So
yeah.
It's really can he take a next step? We know who he is as a defender. Can he really take a next step as an offensive player and start to demand the kind of max dollars that I know he's seeing in his head for sure right now. So, and if he can, then hell yeah, re-sign him. Keep the unit together and let's see what these guys can do going forward. You know, let's see if we can start to contend with these Cavaliers and these Celtics and things like that.
And it's funny from, you know, an outsider's perspective looking in, I always forget how young this team really is too. So like there's lots of potential for growth here. KCP and Stanley Johnson and Tobias Harris, who's so young, and Andre Drummond, who's still so young. Like it's a really young team. It's a really exciting time to be a fan for you guys. I mean, it's...
Oh, goodness, yeah. There was so many years of just inept basketball, just ugly, you know, it's like one of those teams where you just ugly 33 win teams that mm-hmm. you know, they're not like building towards anything. There's not young players that were on the team that you were getting excited about. It was just such ugly basketball, just like, you know, a carousel of coaches. So it's really exciting now to kind of have a team and to, you know, start getting some national games and to, yeah. you know, to just to be able to start to work towards something and see some sort of end goal. Who knows what that will eventually be, but, you know, to build a team that you think can contend for a championship is, you know, really what all you want as any sports fan.
Oh, yeah,
so
for sure.
It is definitely refreshing to see the Pistons up there. And they're my favorite, you know, Detroit sports team. So
yeah. And the only
other
question I have is, like, if they really get good and they, like, take a series from Boston, what are you going to do? Are you going to hide in your home?
Goodness. You know, I would be definitely walking the streets. I would wear, like, a Pistons hat. I would just, you know, this place is so entitled with their titles and
true.
Their championships and... You know, they're all their teams making the playoffs every year. You know, I'm sick of it. I don't need it anymore. And, you know, if Detroit can win, you know, Detroit's kind of like they're a market where they're going to get one in whatever sport, and then they're going to kind of, you know, disappear for 5 to 10 years.
5 to 10.
So
yep.
I will definitely be celebrating
wear
as
it proud.
Much as possible. Yeah, very, very proud, very loud.
Yeah, just remember to look over your shoulder.
I will, definitely.
Anyway, I think that's going to do it for us. Thank you so much, David, for coming on. Why don't you plug your stuff again real quick and tell everybody where they can reach you?
Well, thank you, you know, first and foremost for having me. This was a blast. But I can be found SB Nation, the Detroit Pistons affiliate site, DetroitBadBoys.com. I'm on there just as my name, David Fernandez. And then Twitter, you can find me at the_Fernantula. And yeah, that's FERNANTULA. So that's where you'll find me for some tweets about basketball and whatever the hell else is catching my mind.
Great. Good stuff. Well, thanks for coming on. You're always welcome to come back. Maybe mid-season when they're kicking ass, we'll have you on and we can talk all about how much you love Ish Smith.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'll just be wearing like a Dish Smith jersey this time around. But no, thank you so much for having me. And,
sure.
and it was a pleasure and look forward to doing it again.
Great. Talk to you soon.
Talk soon. Bye.
All right. Goodbye. Well, guys, there you go. It's David Fernandez. And I almost forgot to turn off the podcast. But thanks again, David, so much for coming on. It was great to talk some Detroit basketball. So if you guys want to reach out to the show and say hi and tweet at me, or you want to come on and talk some basketball from your neighborhood, feel free. You can reach me at thesuperflightpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow on Twitter @superflightpod. You can follow me personally @JoeBorelli on Twitter. And you can listen to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud, and everywhere else you can find. And I not iTunes, but anywhere else you can find a podcast. Yeah. And if you do listen, please review and rate so that other people can find me and us. And I think we're all having a really good time. And this is so much fun. And thanks for listening again. Really looking forward to the start of the season tomorrow, and I still might stay up and do that crazy expectations podcast that I'm talking about. But in the meantime, I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye.
To understand that I'm more than simply a hype man for this rap group, just like Geico is more than just a company that can save you money. Geico also has fast and friendly claim service, so they can help you when you need it most. And while I do love being a hype man, I also love reading for children's audiobooks. Like Little Bo Peep, she lost a sheep, and she don't know where to find them. Yo!
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.